Hello, and welcome to the teacher edition of Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud. The complexity of teaching is both challenging and rewarding, and my curiosity has piqued whenever I explore with teachers the multiple pathways for facilitating student engagement in the exciting world of learning. This podcast looks to serve teachers as they motivate and support their learners. Thanks for listening. I'm delighted that you're here. Starting the year planning for relationships. While listening to a webinar from Dr. Mark Williams, a professor of neuroscience who frequently provides learning opportunities for parents and teachers, Dr. Williams made this statement: "We don't learn from people that we don't trust or are not connected to." My thought is that most of us can see building trust with students by being consistent and dependable, having expectations that allow students to predict how we will respond in a given situation. For me, the more difficult task is connection. That requires learning about and knowing our students and having them know that we know them. When they see our support for them and interest in them is personalized, connection is built. In an earlier podcast I recorded with Tara Brown, the Connections Coach, she provided these thoughts on relationships. If we know that there's this strong connection between relationships, emotions, and the brain, what would you say in the work that you've done are some of the most common things we overlook, either within a classroom or within a school?
Well, unfortunately, we're still not totally trusting the research in some districts and some schools. You know, when rigor, relevance, and relationship came down from the educational mountaintop, I was like that dog that kind of went, huh? I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was immediately like, wait, that's in the wrong order. That's in the wrong order. And unfortunately, with the focus on end of course testing and data and all of that, we have put rigor in front of getting the brain in an emotional state of learning. And so you have teachers literally that have told me, I don't have time to build relationships because I have so much content to cover. And I'm like, no, that's not steeped in research. That is not trusting the research that says when we make sure that the emotional state of that learner is in a primed state, you're going to be able to cover so much more content. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest pieces that I see still in this country, in certain districts, is that hesitancy to take time to put emotional deposits in those bank accounts, to have non-contingent conversations, to create an environment where there's laughter and there's collaboration. And so if we can just trust the research and believe that when we invest in time to get to know those kids, it's going to be so much more impactful with how much we can cover over a year's time.
It's interesting because I've always said one of the things we also have to do is trust the kids' brains. So what I'm hearing from you is if we'll invest in that relationship, if we'll invest in having those emotions, then I can trust that the kid's brain, it can handle the learning piece that's going to come.
Yeah, I was working with a staff. It was elementary, and it was K through five. And before we started, and there was probably like three different staffs we were working with, and I was just walking around chatting to people, and I stopped at this one table, and I said, hey, just curious, do y'all do like meditation, mindfulness, morning meeting stuff? And the lady who was a second grade teacher, she goes, well, now K through three does. And I said, what happens to four and five? And she goes, well, you know how they're all about that content. And it's like, okay, yeah. And so it was just, that's a perfect example of us getting off track and not understanding the emotional piece and how relevant that is to priming the brain.
In my mind, the first days and weeks of school are key to setting the stage that you will build from as you and your students move ahead. Continually building the relationships and the environment that can promote and maximize student learning in both academics and in critical life skills. I'm always surprised when instructional coaches tell me that teachers aren't interested in getting observational feedback in the first month of school. Actually, in my mind, day one is so important that a pre and post conference built around your desired goals as a teacher could be very valuable. The Search Institute provides the four S's interview, which might give you an initial conversation to have with students over the first weeks of school. Teachers with a self-contained classroom might do a few students each day. Secondary teachers might interview homeroom classes or advisories and then exchange your learning with each other. Here is Kent Pico from Search Institute describing the interview. The links to his TED Talk and to Tara's podcast are in this podcast lead-in.
And it's called the Four S's Interview. The Four S's Interview can be done in 15 minutes. It can take about an hour. And it's a simple, simple protocol that we've tried out in many different settings, from schools to detention centers to public housing to out-of-school time programs across the country. And it's very simple. You tell the kid, I want to understand your four S's. What are your four S's? Your sparks, your strengths, your struggles, and your supports. Your sparks are the things you love, the things you get up in the morning and you really want to do and that make you excited and you feel alive, your talents, your interests. Your strengths are the things that you think are best about you. Yes, your abilities, but not just your abilities, also your values, like being there for my friends, being trustworthy for my family. The third are your struggles, the challenges that you face, what keeps you up at night, what makes you worried. Now, those could be the struggles and challenges of adolescence that are pretty normal, but they could also be the trauma that too many kids today are going through. And then finally, there's your supports, the people, the places, the environments that actually make you feel safe and feel accepted and feel yourself. Now, if you do the four S's interview, you actually can't just launch into the first S. You actually have to stop and tell the young person before you begin it what you're going to do and why you're going to do it, which means saying, I want to understand your sparks, your strengths, your struggles, and your supports. You actually literally do that kind of a set piece. And believe me, we've tried this without doing that. And there's two reasons you need to do it. The first reason you actually say, I want to know your four S's, and then you spell them out, is because you want to convey to that young person that I want to know your whole self. I want to know what's great about you and what you're struggling with. The second reason is that you want to convey to that young person that I'm leading you through a process, and this process is going to take you somewhere good. I'm going to start with your spark, that thing that you love to talk about, and there's very few kids, though there are some, but there's very few kids who won't start to talk about what they love, whether it's football or hip-hop or dance or reading or just being with my friends. Then you move on to their strength, that place that they feel best about themselves, the thing that they think are best about themselves, not just, again, in terms of their abilities, but also their values. So now you've laid that groundwork with their sparks and their strengths, and now you can open that box of their struggles, and you can say, what are you worried about? What are you struggling with? And you've laid that groundwork with the first two steps, but you don't end there. You come out of it into their supports and trying to understand, how do we actually understand where you feel good, where you feel safe? If you do the four S's interview and it's successful, you will have an understanding of that kid that can propel a relationship that can be truly powerful and developmental.
As you plan for these first days of school, consider these questions. If you had an instructional coach observing during those days, what focus might you give her regarding your words and your actions? What are the things you want to be most conscious of? If the coach was observing your students during those days, what would you hope she recorded in their words, nonverbals, and actions? If someone interviewed your students after the first 10 days of school, what would you want them to uncover from their input? The first days with new students are important in impacting future learning. Take the time, make the investment, and continue building relationships and environments across the year that will maximize learning. Have a great start to your year. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening in, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.